Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
If you're not familiar with them, you're going to want to get familiar with them real fast. Before we start, we have to send out our condolences to Smokin' Joe Frazier's family. As most of you know, he passed a little earlier this week. You can catch a program on the Blake Radio Network here in Rainbow Soul, done by our sports team, our sports crew, headed up by Doc Stanley. He did a special this week, so you can always just go exactly to our website and archive the program and take a listen to it there. The program features commentary about Joe Frazier, and it features one of the last interviews that he did. Doc Stanley did an interview with him back in July, so he definitely will be replaying that interview. And also a big shout-out and condolences to Heavy D's family. Hope that he rests in peace as well. Gone too soon. I mean, that's the best way to put it. I grew up on Heavy D's music, and our condolences definitely go out to both families at this particular time. Today we have some wonderful guests on the line. The music is incredible from my perspective, from my taste. It is music that I have to tell you I was pleasantly surprised by. I got their tracks, I would say maybe about a couple weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And when I got the tracks, we get a lot of music here at BlakeRadio.com for music massage. And I have to tell you, I have no expectations when I get the music. We get tons of music, people requesting airplay. But I got to tell you, when I listened to the tracks on this album, I got to tell you, I was blown away. And the reason why is because, I'm going to go out and tell you like right now that this is one of the best albums that I have heard in a long, long time. Best all-around albums. And the reason why I say that is because even from your favorite artists, artists that, you've been listening to for years, a lot of times on the albums, there's maybe two or three tracks that you like. And, you buy the album or the CD or download the tracks or whatever because you know they're going to put out two or three tracks on that album that you're going to be feeling. This album, I got to tell you, 90% of the tracks, you're really, really going to dig the tracks. With me today, we have The Revelations featuring Trey Williams. We're going to start off with one of their tracks. It's called Behind These Bars. And when we come back, we have them live here in the spotlight tonight. The Revelations featuring Trey Williams. Stay with us.
That you write to me, but I'm scared.
and I can't even touch her and hold her like the way that I used to. The only thing I walk away with is the smell of her perfume. Cause if she told me the truth, Lord knows I couldn't make it in. And I know that it can't go on this way. Cause soon I gotta let her live. That's the reality I gotta face.
Members of the Revelations featuring Trey Williams. Of course, we have Trey Williams with us, and we have the guitar player, Mr. Wes Mingus. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having
us. Nice to be here.
Yeah, man, and music, as I was telling you earlier, I'm really feeling these tracks. It was a pleasant surprise getting your CD, and we really do appreciate you putting out an album of this quality.
Thank you, man. Yeah. It's a process, you know. It's a lot more work to come up with something that's original, something that's honest. You know, it's just no auto tune. It's not a lot of edits. A lot of the stuff is just live in the studio, you know. And I think that feel and that band kind of spirit comes through, and that's something that's really missing a lot from what's going on today. You know, you got the one star, and then everybody else playing in the background. But you know, I think you really feel the musicianship and the band vibe, you know, in the album.
Absolutely, absolutely. Introduce yourself, folks, so everyone knows, can recognize your voice when you're talking. Trey, introduce yourself.
Oh, yes. How you doing, man? I'm Trey Williams, honored lead singer of this wonderful entourage of very talented musicians. And when I tell you talented, that's an understatement.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Mr. Wes Mingus, step out so folks can recognize your voice.
Hey there. Thanks for having us on. Appreciate it. Need all the help we can get. Independent music needs, it's all about the grassroots. So we appreciate you putting us on.
Oh, absolutely. And we've been playing your tracks on our sister station, Music Massage. We've been getting a good response from it. Folks are really feeling the tracks that you've put out there. Let's start at the beginning. Trey Williams and Wes Mingus, how did you guys put together the Revelations?
Well, you know, it started out as a session project. Sorry, Trey, you want to go ahead on that, or you want me to do that?
Honestly, it wasn't the best part about this, that it wasn't something that was planned. It wasn't orchestrated. It was I got with Bob Perry, and I had an idea for a song, and I told Bob, I said, you know, I want to do something different. I want to be special. I don't want to do the normal R&B type thing. I'm going to need a live band for this. And he said, so you sure that's what you want? I said, yeah, I want a live band. I want a different sound. And I had this idea, and when I came in the studio the next day, there Wes and the guys was, and I actually thought Bob was joking about bringing in a live band, you know, but he did, and we sat down and we came up with the first song, I Don't Want to Know, and from that song, you knew that this was something special. Just the vibe of the whole thing was incredible. So once you find something that's right, you know it, and that's what we found.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we got called in, you know, we're all professional musicians and work with different artists and recording and performing or whatever, and we had just started working with this producer, Bob Perry, who works on the project, manages the band, and he, you know, he called us in, said, you know, I need something a little bit like this, and then, you know, I kind of put down an idea, and then next thing I know, I just hear Trey out in the hall, and he's just singing the song, and I'm like, whoa, you know, it was just like all kind of came together, and just what I did and what he had in mind that I hadn't even heard just matched together perfectly. And you know, when you do a lot of sessions and stuff, you kind of get used to it being kind of a revolving door. You come in, you do your thing, you get out. But there was something definitely different about these sessions. Yeah. And as soon as we got in and started working on it, we knew that this wasn't just something that was going to be a hit and quit it deal. It was, you know, it became pretty clear very early on that we had something special. We didn't have a whole lot together at that point, but we knew we had the vibe and we had the chemistry. And from there, you know, if you got good musicians and a great singer like Trey, it's just a matter of working it out. So that's what we did.
Absolutely. How long have you guys been together?
I say we've been together going, this is pushing around 3 years now.
Yep, 3 years.
3 years.
A little over 3 years, yep.
Two CDs and one EP later, we're still here and pushing for more. You know, and what's incredible is that our first official rehearsal was actually a live show. We had never played together. We had never practiced the music. We had never done anything. And we walked into this club and jumped on the stage and said, you know what, let's rehearse. And we did it right there, and it sounded so good. That was more of a confirmation that the Revelations featuring Trey Williams was now born.
Yeah, it was one of those things, you know, you finish the song, and, you know, it's just that kind of silence. And you're like, uh-oh, did we mess up? And then everybody started going crazy, you know, just that, it's that moment where, like, we were shocked, you know, the people there didn't know what to think, and it was just kind of like, we just knew that, you know, something we need to make a band.
Absolutely. Now, this is the sophomore album, and a lot of times the sophomore albums for artists are usually a difficult album. That second album is pretty difficult. What was the response to your first album, and what made you decide to go this route so that you could make a great impact with your sophomore version of your music out there?
I mean, with the first album, I look at it, and I always say we look at it as it was the high school years, just trying to figure out where we going and where we going in the right direction and where we giving the people something that they actually wanted, and that's the thing about music. Sometimes you can do music, but if the people don't want it, if it's something that's not receptive, then you just actually almost wasted your time, But we felt like we was going in the right direction. And once we put it together and put it out, the reviews was good. It didn't get to as many ears as we had liked, but it got to enough that it opened a lot of eyes for us. And sometimes that's what you need to do. You need to just part the eyes a little bit so they can just see a little bit. And then maybe they'll open their eyes all the way. And that's what happened.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we put it out and we had an immediate response in the Deep South, like in Mississippi Delta around there. I think our first market was Jackson, Mississippi, and people just loved it down there. Oh yeah, all around there, the whole sort of Deep South Delta area just showed us so much love just from the door. And our music is so inspired by all the Memphis and all, High Records and Stax Records and all that sound. It's so directly descendant from that. And, for us to be able to take it down there and people loving it like that, we knew we were definitely on the right track.
Absolutely. Now, where are you guys based out of?
I'm in Brooklyn. And
I'm in Yonkers, New York.
Okay.
The band is based. We came together in Brooklyn, so that pretty much when you see the bio, you say that it's a Brooklyn-based band. And hey, I mean, for us to be, you say that we're a Brooklyn-based band in Brooklyn, to even receive us as a band out of Brooklyn was even good.
Yeah, no, yeah. I can feel that because I'm from Brooklyn. I grew up in Ebbets Field, if you know where that's at, in Crown Heights.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So I'm proud of you guys, hearing that you guys from Brooklyn. I mean, I was feeling the music before that, but now I'm really, really feeling the music. You guys, as you said, you're veteran musicians and singers, and you guys are being kind of modest. Wes, why don't you just roll out a few of the credits, a few of the people that you've played for, because you have done some impressive things so far in your career.
I played with a lot of different people. I've done, as a group, we've done some rhythm section stuff, and we've done some hip-hop albums. We've done the last two albums with Wu-Tang. We've toured doing a reggae tour with reggae dub mastermind Lee Scratch Perry. I played with Bilal, Leela James. I've done stuff with The Roots. So it's kind of all over the place. But, Trey's got a great story, too. He's worked with a lot of the greats, too, so...
Go ahead, Trey.
Tell
the folks who you've been with, Trey.
I mean, I started out the first person I worked with was Pete Pablo, was on his first CD, and that kind of opened the door for me. Then I did a song with me and Styles P on the hip hop side, and that was actually my song. People think it was his song called I-95, and that led me to sign my deal with Nas on this Ill Will Jones Experience label. So I stayed over with Nas for about three years. Did the Hip Hop Is Dead album, Let There Be Light on that, which was an incredible record. And did a lot of different collabs. Kanye did the track, and I also did the remix with the Kanye Hey Mama, and did the remix with Jay-Z America's Dreaming. And, just worked with a lot of people throughout the hip-hop industry and just keeping that, always try to say I bring the soul to the hip-hop.
Absolutely, because you definitely have a soulful voice. Now, why don't you tell the folks, we'll start with you, Wes, what your inspiration has been, you know, what made you decide and realize that music was your calling?
I don't know. I think growing up, my mother was a dancer, and she has a dance company and dance school. I grew up in Delaware, and I was fortunate enough, we didn't have a lot of money, but I had all the love, and no matter what I tried to pursue, you know, if it was acting or photography, I tried everything, you know, but it was like the one thing that always came back that I never really got tired of was the music and playing guitar. So I, you know, put my studies in, and then I went to a music college in Boston called Berklee College of Music, and did my time there, and then I went to Philadelphia for a while, where I, you know, hooked up with people like The Roots and Vivian Green and people like that, and then after a while I ended up in Brooklyn. I've been here for about 7 years now, and best decision I ever made, put me in this spot right now, and I'm on your show, so hey, don't get any better.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I loved your guitar on that first track that we played. Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about that first track?
Behind these bars. You know, my back home, you know, I'm from Daytona Beach, Florida, originally, and my brother, he's a city worker. He goes get the prisoners from the correctional facility, and he take them out to work. And he told me one day, he said, "Yo, Trey, you know, if you ever get some of these stories that some of these guys tell me, and you could write it into a song, it would be incredible, man." He said, "Because nobody ever tells the story from their point of view, you know, being inside." Saying this one guy told me that, man, he hate to even see his girl come to see him because the only thing he can do is smell her perfume. He can't even touch her. And as he's telling me this story, I'm saying, wow, you really hitting on something. And a lot of the songs that I write is based on my life or somebody's life. I try to keep the reality to the music as much as possible, give you the vision. So when you're listening, you can actually see this thing. And Behind These Bars was one of those songs that you actually saw. And I told Bob, if we can just get Wes to just compliment me, you know, behind it, to, you know, be more of a voice rather than an instrument, it's going to be an incredible song. And that's what we came, and that's what we did, and I think we hit it.
Yeah, and that solo that's on, that was the first time we ever tracked with Trey in the studio. We'd done a few songs, you know, for the album, but, you know, it was more like we'd get the track together and he would lace the track on top of that. It was the first time we actually ever all put it in together at the same time in the studio, and so we just had that push and that vibe with it. And that solo I did on there was first take. That was it. You know, a lot of times you kind of just ride that wave. A lot of times you try to make the perfect solo and it just gets worse and worse and worse, you know. So, but we just had the energy there and it just came out great.
Yeah, I was really feeling that track because I love guitar. I love the Isley Brothers, you know, that kind of stuff. So I was really, really feeling your guitar on that track. I got to tell you, I was loving it. Let me ask you this. You know, I always like to talk to, you know, the guests and kind of get into their heads a little bit so that folks can, you know, get to know you. You know, so it's not just an interview about the music. It's about you as a person, and people get to shape, you know, their views about you, you know, based upon what you say and about your music. Let's start with Trey. Talk a little bit about, you know, how you grew up, your environment, and how you feel that has affected your music in a positive or negative way so far.
Well, you know, I grew up in Daytona Beach, Florida, man, and Daytona is not a very big place from what we have to work with. And it was a real tight-knit place, like everybody knew everybody. And one thing my mother did was she kept us in church, you know, and that was, you know, her way of trying to keep us away from trouble. And I mean, to some extent, worked, you know. I didn't get in much trouble, I say. But I knew at a young age, I knew at about five, that singing was what I wanted to do. You know, and the more I sung in church, the more it pulled me to do it. But then I got into sports, and I just decided that, you know, maybe I'm a better athlete than I am a singer, you know. So as I grew up and progressed and started, you know, getting more into the world and getting more in trouble, I came out of high school and got ready. I went to college in Daytona Beach, and being in the wrong place at the wrong time, I got shot in the leg, and which ended my football career, which I was pretty good at that. But I think, to me, that was the changing of the guard for me. That's when I knew that God had a bigger plan for me. And it didn't include me playing any sport. It included me using the talent that he gave me through my voice. And I decided that I was going to have to find somewhere to let this music go, to have a bigger outlet. And I didn't think that Florida was going to do it for me, you know. So I told my mother, I met a guy that was coming to New York, and he said to me, Trey, maybe you should try to go to New York. You'll really make it. And I told my mother that I think that's what I wanted to do. And she was at work that day, and she said, well, baby, I didn't get a chance to cash my check. All I have is $5 on me. I said, give it to me. I'll make it work. So she gave me the $5, and off I went. So I came to New York with no family, nobody, $5, and a bag of dirty clothes. I took the $5 and washed the clothes so I could be clean and neat for whoever I met, because I knew that all I needed to do was meet somebody, you know, and running across a few people and allowed me to get myself off, and I had an opportunity to be a special guest right away at the Apollo. And that made my hunger for music even more, because that's something you grew up with. You never thought you'd be there, coming from a young kid from Florida who they said wasn't going to be nothing because my daddy wasn't nothing. So that I knew that I had an opportunity to make all of them liars, you know. So there I went for it, man. I put stock in it, but I wasn't doing it the right way. Being one thing you know about being in this music business, you know, you get inside this world of this alcohol and drugs and smoking and just really falling into the life. And I was no different than anybody else. I fell right into the life of that world. And it was about when my youngest son was born, I looked at his face and I said, I got to do something different, because there's no way that I'm going to be able to tell him right and wrong when I'm doing wrong. There's no way that I can be successful in what I'm doing to take care of him. So what was my alternative? Well, my alternative was to say that I no longer needed to smoke. I no longer needed to drink. I no longer needed to imbibe anything that would desecrate my body or take away my talent or stop me from providing for my family. And I decided that at that point in time I was going to be dead serious about music. And along right about that time is when I was able to run into the Nas deal. And I knew right then and there, by me just clearing my mind, God was going to open up the doors for me. And that's what started to happen. And now I'm right here. So I couldn't have, my decision to do that couldn't have been wrong, you know. So
absolutely.
And thanks to my mother putting us in church, I always had that little voice of reason, that voice that always said, Trey, you know that's not right, right? You know you was raised better than that, right? And that allowed, what made it even easier for me to walk away from all that negativity and to walk into a positivity. And like I said, I'm no angel, and I ain't going to walk on water no time soon, you know, but I do my best to try to live right, you know.
And you're definitely putting your best foot forward
with
your music. That's an incredible story, Trey. I mean, it seems like the two tipping points for you was getting shot in your leg and realizing that you couldn't play football anymore, and just getting shot in general, and also on the flip side of that, the birth of your child, you know, which is a beautiful thing, which changed your life. Did you actually get to see the birth of your son?
Yeah. I've actually, you know, I have I actually have two sons and two daughters, and I seen three of them come out. So, you know, that was something for me that I always wanted to do, you know, and I made sure that I was definitely there. You know, I have a son now that's playing in Western Kentucky. I'm wishing the best of luck tomorrow. I mean, this week because he played LSU, but
not
just hopefully.
After all. He's big time in LSU.
hey, I was so happy LSU beat Alabama because I said, well, maybe they won't be mad and they don't want to just kick the crap out of my son and them team, you know. So God is good in all kind of ways.
Yeah, well, he's big time. What position does he play?
Oh, he plays linebacker. He's a freshman.
He's no joke. He's no joke.
Yeah, he's a true freshman, and he's playing a whole lot. So, you know, we just stay positive, keep the prayers in the air, and keep injury away from him, and he should have a bright future.
Wow. Isn't it amazing how the Creator, you know, we don't necessarily get to do something, but that seed is planted, and you were going to play football. You didn't get that opportunity, but now that dream is being realized through your son. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, that's it. And I said that I told him the first game he played, I said, you know, Daddy never was able to run out on that field, and as good as I was, I should have, but it was a different world for me. But through you, I've played my first college game. Through you, I'm doing everything that I desire. And as long as I keep pushing you and putting, you know, making it easier for you to do things, I feel like I'm winning. And that's what it is about. It's all about these kids and trying to create a easier path than we had. And I think that's every parent's dream is to do that, to make their kid world a little better than theirs.
Absolutely. Incredible story, Trey. Wes, let's take a listen to your story.
Yeah, I mean, you heard most of mine. Mine's not nearly as compelling as Mr. Williams, you know.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, that was just trying to find my path. You know, I just knew I loved music, you know, and it was just something that, you know, growing up, it was the closest thing that I ever found still to magic. You know, it's just like there's no reason why a major chord makes you feel happy and a minor chord makes you feel sad. You know, there's no like really good reason for that. There's just something else that happens in music that creates this kind of response in people. And it was just something that I saw very early on. So I was like, wow, I can, you know, this is it. You know, I tried some different kinds of ways of, you know, expressing myself and reaching people, but there was always sort of a filter and something I had to kind of break through to get to the other side. But there was always, you know, some kind of transparency with music with me. And, you know, I didn't have all my ability and my chops together, but I knew that I had something that touched people, you know, and that was going to be my way of making a difference, you know. And it was, you know, I've done a lot of gigs where you see people come in, they don't know you from nothing, and you get up there and you can change a life, you know, with one song. You know, it doesn't even have to be, you know, literally the topics in the song like Trey's talking about. That's, you know, how he goes about it. He tells his story with words. But there's something that happens with the music that is just, it can't be really explained. And music is so universal. It's not like, you know, it's not like you meet somebody who's like, I don't know, music doesn't really do it. You know what I mean? It's like music is just something that touches everybody. Maybe not the same music touches everybody, but there's a special connection that everybody has with music, you know, that it's kind of a quiet spiritual place that it takes you to, you know. So I knew that was something I really needed to develop, and that was something that I had a gift with, you know, and it was my responsibility to nurture that gift and to bring it to fruition. So, you know, I hooked up in probably my senior year in high school. I hooked up with a really heavy dude in Delaware named John Doherty, and he got me playing jazz music. And, you know, up till then, it was just like all my friends just listen to rock and stuff, some heavy metal or whatever, you know. I didn't really know nothing. I went in there, and he was like, play me an A minor 7 chord. And I was like, just the A string, right? I was like, oh man. And from that point, I realized the ignorance I had, and that's where my real respect for music as a craft was really born, you know, is just realizing your ignorance and how far you have to go to really cultivate the craft. So I got into jazz music a lot in high school, and then I went to music school and kept on it through there, and just kind of just kept my ears open and just, you know, I don't like to put music in boxes and be like, oh, well, I don't do that and I don't do that. It's just, you know, to me, it's just music, you know, and because music is just so universal. And so I've always tried to be able to, you know, I don't do everything well, but I try to touch on a lot of different things and really respect different kinds of music and a lot of different kinds of traditions. So I just kind of became a student of, you know, jazz music, hip hop, rock and roll, blues, whatever, you know, just mostly, you know, American based musical forms, and just kept it going and just tried to stay honest, you know, and just tried to respect the music more than, you know, be showing off. And, you know, if I take a guitar solo that's going somewhere, like, I like to think that I'm saying something, I'm telling a story, I'm relaying something about myself or about, you know, people in general, instead of just being up there trying to look cool, you know. And I think people can see through that stuff when you're, you know, up there fronting and just trying to be cool. That was never really quite my thing, you know. I just wanted to just really respect the craft and really, really just make things better for people, you know. It's a kind of social work, you know. It's like, especially a lot of these places we play down Mississippi, we play literally the poorest communities in the entire country, the poorest counties. And it's just like, you know, we'll play these spots down a dirt road with some tin roof, and you're like, wow, you know, it's just a time warp, you know. But through doing all that, it's really gotten us really in touch with the source of the music that we're trying to do. And I think that's a lot of why this album feels like such a growth for all of us, because we were all fans of this music and we all love this music, and we kind of, you know, we came in to do it. But once we got down into the roots of it all and the communities that produced this music originally and where it all came from, I think we've all had a much more profound connection and a much deeper understanding to what it is that we're doing. And I think that comes through on this second album a lot more than the first album. I think we were, you know, trying a little harder and trying to, you know, find, you know, what's going to work, like Trey was saying, you know. But on this album, I think we developed a lot more confidence in who we are and a lot more foundation from being in touch with the source. And I think it comes out pretty natural like that.
It sure does. And you guys are going to go far. I know that, because you're both very humble with incredible stories, and, you know, you're not taking anything for granted. And I got to tell you, those road trips, that's building material for you guys. You know, I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of that in your music coming up. We have about 20 minutes left in the show. I just want to let everybody know that they're listening to Neil Blake Online here on Rainbow Soul. On the Blake Radio Network. With me tonight, my guests are The Revelations featuring Trey Williams. We're going to play another one of your tracks real quickly, set it up. We're going to play Lonely Room. It's one of your slower tracks that I really love. We've been playing that on Music Massage. I'm a huge fan of slow jams and slower tempo music. Tell the fans a little bit about this track. Go ahead, Trey.
Lonely Room, you know, it was one of those songs, man, that the band had did the track, and I'm sitting in my living room, and they saying, well, Trey, we need a nice hitter with this one. So I'm sitting in here, man, and I'm trying to say, so I replay, you know, in every relationship, and mine is no different, that you go through things, and you sometimes you think what you're going through is at its worst, you know, and it might be as simple as a few dollars, but you feel like, oh, man, this is just the worst. And thought back at one of them times that I actually was sitting in a lonely room, like I was sitting in a lonely room, you know, and so I took this song and I said, you know what, I'm going to put a little bit of me in this lonely room because I'm not above reproach, you know, I'm not above, you know, showing that my life ain't always the greatest just like everybody else's, you know, so Lonely Room was written at that, in that context for me, you know. And the track was, you know, whenever you get a track that you can listen to without even putting words to it, then you know you got a good song.
Absolutely. Let's take a listen right now. Trey Williams, this is The Revelations featuring Trey Williams. The name of the track is called Lonely Room. Take a listen.
Since you've been gone,
I wish you could hear me.
I've been going
The Revelations featuring Trey Williams, an incredible, incredible track, brothers. I really, really love that track, Lonely Room. We were featuring Trey Williams on lead vocals and Wes Mingus on guitar. Great track, folks. Guys still there with me?
Hello?
You hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, cool.
You hear me?
I was just got you, Trey?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah,
okay,
Trey's
cool. There. I just wanted to just point out some of the help we had making this album, which was just unbelievable. Like, you know, I was saying the whole process of going down the Delta and finding our roots and everything and
yeah.
the amount of love we got down there. But it's like some of the cats that are playing on this album are just some of the classic session players. Like that track has James Alexander from the Bar Kays on the bass.
Mm.
It's got Charles Hodges, master of the soul organ. Every Al Green song you ever heard was that organ played by that
wow.
man. The guitar amp that I'm playing through was Teeny Hodges' amp that, you know, all the classic Al Green stuff, all the high records stuff. We had Lester Snell on the piano on that, who played on all the classic Isaac Hayes movement
Isaac
stuff.
Hayes.
I mean, come on, man. You know, it's
wow.
you got to really come with something solid. You got
not,
that kind of company.
And not only that, we actually recorded it at Royal Studios in Memphis, where all Al Green stuff was done. So, you know, we took the ambience, we took the love, we took the passion, we took it all from that building, you know.
Some of the greatest soul records ever were cut right there in that room at that studio. So with Willie Mitchell's son, you know, Willie Mitchell passed last year, but his son, Boo Mitchell, is now running the place, and he was behind the board. And so we had, you know, we had Uncle Willie in there, just, you know, guiding us from above. So, you know, it was hard to lose with that kind of cast.
Absolutely, and it was definitely a great track. As independent artists, what do you think your uphill battle is, if you won't even call it a battle? What's it like being an independent artist out there these days?
I wouldn't say, you know, what's the uphill battle. I think that we're actually putting ourselves in a better position now with the way that music is going than a lot of mainstream artists who have major labels behind them, because they're kind of like basing their whole thing is on radio and not actually building a fan base. I think what we're doing is slowly but surely building a loyal fan base that is going to be with us from now until. And that right there, you can't pay for that. You
Absolutely.
Know? And the thing about it is that once the major artists stop getting radio play, they lose that audience, because that audience goes to the next radio hit.
To the flavor
well,
of the month.
The supporters that we have, they're true supporters, because they know that they can't go to their big radio station and hear us. They're going to hear us because they're going to go get the music. They're going to follow us on Facebook. They're going to find out where our new songs are. And those are loyal fans, loyal supporters who will support you through the thick and the thin. And that means that we will always be able to go on the road and perform for them. And that right there is without a doubt one of the best things that we could have done with what we're doing.
Definitely. And I think, you know, the whole thing with being an independent artist, you know, the word independent sounds like you're kind of out there by yourself, you know, but it's really what we do and how we do it just puts us in touch with the people that much more. And when you're independent and you don't have that kind of major label pressure of, you know, it's got to sound like this and how come you don't sound like this guy or whatever, you know, you really kind of have the freedom to really develop your own voice and feel good about it and be recognized for it, which is something that's definitely been lost in the past 20, 30 years in the record business. You know, it used to be you could have an album come out and not sell that many, and you might go gold like your third album, you know, and then you were really doing something. But now if you're not going platinum your first album, you're out. You know, if they don't see the Burger King commercial, you're not getting fined. You know, we don't have that kind of pressure. So, you know, on the one hand, where it's like, you know, we don't have some big factory machine behind us. On the other hand, we really have the freedom to develop ourselves and be honest and true to who we are instead of trying to fit into some sort of industry model. And I think that's something that definitely comes through in what we do.
I think it comes through, too.
And the thing that you won't worry about with the revelations featuring Trey Williams is that we're not going to fall apart. We're not going to be one of those bands that, you know, do two records and all of a sudden, you know, Trey go on his own and lead the band. I think what we have worked so hard to bring together, we will keep together. And,
absolutely.
And we're gonna let this boat sail as far as the water will let us. You know, so. That's the best part. Like Wes said, we have no label stress. All we have to do is just keep putting out good music.
Absolutely, absolutely. We got about 9 minutes left. I want you guys to get in where your fan, because you just talked about your fan base. Let everybody know where they can reach you, so when we're rushing off the air, you know, they will not be deprived of that information. Talk about your Twitter, your Facebook, your emails, whatever kind of contact information you want to give out.
Well, first off, let's give out that revelations.net. Go there and right there for those you know who want to get a hold to the CD. The first one, The Bleeding Edge, is our first CD. The second one is the one we have now, Concrete Blues. You can go there and order the CD. We have the Revelations featuring Trey Williams Facebook page. We have Trey Williams Facebook page. We have Wes Mingus Facebook page. We have the whole world Facebook page. So we definitely can be found online. And go online and look us up, because we could be in an area real close to you and you not even know it, because you not even, you know, you haven't checked it out. But check it out and hopefully you come out and see his work.
Absolutely. What? Absolutely. Any email addresses you want to give out or anything like that?
You just find us on the Facebook, man. That's, you know, the world's most popular website. Everybody's there. So, you know, you could find us all. Everybody that plays on the album, everybody in the Revelations tray, we're all on there. You just hit us up on there, and we'll get back to you. You know, hopefully people, you know, drop a line to us, you know, let us know who you are and you know, why you're trying to get in touch with us and how the music makes you feel and why you're, you know, seeking us out. Sometimes I just, you know, I get, like, just friend requests. I'm like, who's that? You know, if somebody actually takes the time to tell me who they are and why they're, you know, interested, I'll friend you up and we'll stay in touch. And hopefully you'll come to the show and you'll see it go to the next level.
What shows you guys have coming up in the near future?
Well, we headed this next week. We headed down south, and we're gonna run through Memphis. We're gonna run through the Mississippi area. And we're going to be down there setting up some more things for, you know, the Alabama area and the Louisiana area and the Little Rock area. So we're definitely looking forward to setting up something and coming back to New York, because Lord knows we love to play in New York because it's home.
Yep, and the album came out this week, so go out and get it. If you like the band on Facebook, you can get a list of every retail outlet in the country that is currently stocking our album. If you want to get, you know, the hard copy, go out and do that. If you want to hit us up on iTunes, you can get it on iTunes. You can get a digital download from Amazon. There's tons of different places you can get.
And the name of the new album is called Concrete Blues. Trey and Wes, tell us a little bit about the motivation as a whole body of music, what Concrete Blues is, what the title meant for you guys.
Well, first off, I want to say that, you know, a lot of people think that when we say Concrete Blues, we was more talking about the blues, you know, as a genre of music, and it was more Concrete Blues was more of the concrete being the pavement, these streets, the hardness of what we're going through as a society in these streets, you know, and it's definitely so many people without work, without jobs, you know, without the means to make ends meet, are definitely walking down these concrete blues. And if you listen to the title track, Concrete Blues, and you'll hear it, you'll hear us stress it. You know, we took a lot of social issues on this CD that we didn't do on the first one. So, you know, Concrete Blues, for me, that's what it was, you know, was it was the hardness of the society and the things that we're going through from sitting in on Wall Street to bringing the troops home. You know, it's just a lot going on, and there's a lot of Concrete Blues going on.
Definitely, and that's another big difference with this album from the first. You know, we love the first album, but this one definitely touches a lot more on those kinds of topics. It, you know, I think that's kind of what the blues and Concrete Blues kind of touches on, more than, you know, the form of the blues musically. It's more topically speaking, and the kind of topics and the kind of life that was reflected in that kind of music. And I think that definitely comes through a lot on this album. There's a lot more just about people's personal struggles. You know, the first one was a lot more about, you know, interpersonal relationship struggles, man and woman stuff. This is just about paying your rent, you know, and what you got to do just to make that happen, especially living in New York City. You know, it's not an easy thing. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on out there that affects at least 99% of us. So, you know, that those topics definitely get touched on. And the album's kind of set up like that, where the first half is kind of about the social commentary, and then the second half is more the relationship side. And, you know, the relationships get more and more difficult with every problem you encounter. The less money you got, the more problems you can be having at home with your lady, with your kids, with everything. The harder the world around you gets, the harder your relationships get. And that's a lot of the topics that we touch on.
We have a caller on the line, 3033. I'm not sure if you want to ask a question or not. Would you like to ask a question? Caller 3033. Okay, I guess they're just pretty much listening. We've got about 3.5 minutes left. Where do you guys see yourselves going in the near future?
Up, man, up. Continually, you know, we've walked up the ladder each and every time. We've took a step higher and higher, and the thing is that we just want to get more of this music out to as many people as we can to let them know that this type of music, which, you know, real strong music, is still here. It still exists, and it's not, you know, we're not trying to be vintage. We're not trying to replicate old bands. We're just trying to do music that we love for now and make it sound like it's for now. And that's where we're going. That's what I see.
Exactly. The Revelations is soul band, and for some reason that term just sounds funny. Where we're at, you know, now it's like, wait, soul band, is it a soul or is it a band? You know, it's like, there's not, you know, I can't even think about that many soul bands. Maybe Mint Condition, are they still together, you know? But there's not that many bands that are really together and putting it out and bring that kind of group energy and that, you know, just a group of grown men talking about real things.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm really feeling your music. It's definitely soulful. Like I said, for my taste, it's an incredible album. I love your voice, Trey.
Thank you, sir. I love the guitar.
Oh, absolutely, man. I love all the other musicians that are playing on the group. It's quality music. It's like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, it is definitely a breath of fresh air. I want to get in one more track before we leave. There's about 2 minutes left in the show. I got two tracks that I'm kind of teetering on. One is I Gotta Have It. The other one is Don't Wait. It's going to be your choice. Which track would you guys like me to play?
Ooh. I would say Don't Wait.
I was about to say Don't Wait.
That's our most epic song. I think we should go out on top with that one.
Yeah. Don't Wait. Run out and get that CD now. Don't Wait.
Talk a little bit about that track. I think you're featuring a flutist on that album.
Monet. Yeah, she came in and she's on background vocally too. So.
Oh, vocally too? Yep. Okay.
Monet, shout out to Monet. She got a CD out, too, so y'all make sure y'all look up.
Yeah, Monet's no stranger to a Blake Radio. We play her on Music Massage, and she's been here on Rainbow. So, Wes and Trey, I really appreciate you stopping by tonight. It's been a pleasure, folks. Pleasure to have you
likewise.
Here.
Likewise. We need all the help we can get. Keep supporting independent music.
Oh, absolutely. Go to the Blake Radio Network Facebook page. Like us. And that way folks will be able to see you as well. We will definitely put you on our page as well as featured artists. So folks will be able to know how to find you. We've got about 30 seconds left in the show, but when you download the show, you will hear the entire track. I thought the conversation was incredible. That's why I didn't want to start. Real quickly, Wes, and I know this probably has no correlation. Are you related to Charles Mingus? You know.
Oh, man, I wish I was. I get that question all the time. I need to start just saying yes. Just put
yes,
that to
right.
bed and say, yes, I am. But no, I'm not.
Yeah. I thought you were, but I had to ask. I had to ask. You're in good company. Thank you, brothers. We're going to end this off with Don't Wait.
Never blamed you for the hurt that you caused, baby. This is the last time I can ever pay the price, baby, for your love. Don't wait, don't wait too late. Don't wait, 'cause I can't take it again. The journey seems, my life is not as bright as it once had been. Lady, this is the right love. Don't make the wrong decision. It's not like it was. Don't wait. Don't wait too late.
Trey Williams, guest appearance on that was the lovely Monet, who has been on the Blake Radio Network before. Once again, Wes and Trey, it's been a pleasure having you here tonight, and we wish you continued success in your careers.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Absolutely. You've been listening to Neil Blake Online here on Rainbow Soul. We invite you to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Until next time, as I always like to end the program with a quote from Gordon Parks, the man who takes a chance, who walks the line between the known and the unknown, who is unafraid of failure, will succeed. Until next time, peace and love.